Have you heard of benefits trafficking? It's a crime that is on the rise, apparently here and across the country. It's basically using an elderly relative for financial gain and abusing them in the process. A Connecticut couple is now facing multiple charges after police say they were housing an elderly family member in their Griswold home. They reportedly starved and abused her while exploiting her for financial benefits. We spoke with Paul Greenwood, a career prosecutor with the San Diego District Attorney's Office, now retired. But after 40 years of prosecuting elder abuse cases, he is a public speaker nationwide, sounding the alarm about elder abuse and how to prevent it. I actually met Paul a couple of years back when he spoke at Quinnipiac University, and I wanted to get his take on this story.
What I've tried to do over the last 7 years, having retired from the DA's office, is use what I've learned in the courtroom, focusing on prosecuting people who commit terrible acts of violence, neglect, false imprisonment, or emotional abuse, or financial exploitation against older adults. I've tried to use that experience to then transcend into prevention.
So it's interesting, Paul, because the previous times you've come on the show, we've actually focused on nursing homes or assisted living facilities, or even when you have aides coming into your loved one's home or your home and you're not there to supervise. But this is a totally different case. This is what sounds like from police, a couple that took advantage of somebody living with them. So there is no oversight per se. There isn't somebody checking in or the state coming in to check that it's a good facility or a DCF, for example, unless somebody sounds the alarm. This is a unique situation, you know, and when we talk about benefits trafficking,
how common is it to see cases like the one we're seeing out of Griswold?
It is becoming increasingly common because so much of it, as you have pointed out, goes on behind closed doors. So often the what we call the suspects are people who are related to the person who is receiving the benefits. And you know, sometimes when we think of crimes or particularly of financial gain, we think of people who are of high ends, you know, with lots of jewelry, with lots of cash. But, you know, benefits themselves, food stamps, the food cards, the debit cards that you can take to the grocery store to buy groceries, those are an attractive commodity to many people. And so anyone who is in possession of these benefits is at risk of being as exploited as a millionaire living in Beverly Hills.
There were a couple things that stood out to me, Paul, and I don't know if you felt the same way. First and foremost, there were a couple of instances in the article where there were red flags raised, and I'm talking months, even more than a year ago, and yet the charges are now coming in December of 2025. I think that's really suspect. I'm wondering why the delay. I mean, this person was probably clearly, allegedly, still being abused in some way over those months.
And this is why it is so important for us to educate the public on their own obligations to spot red flags, to do the right thing, to not be part of what could be perceived as a cover-up, you know, and particularly in situations where people don't want to, quote, rock the boat because they have a place to live and they think that maybe by engaging with law enforcement that could potentially uncover something else which could put at risk their own accommodation. You know, this is all, unfortunately, part of the selfish human nature. We have got to convince more people to do the right thing. If they see somebody being harmed, being exploited, being abused, we should not hesitate to make that call to law enforcement and to the state adult protective services. Too many people, unfortunately, Melissa, let these things slide for whatever reason. And as a result, things get worse because, you know, again, human nature has taught me over all these years, it doesn't get any better. If people are going to be doing this, they're going to continue to do it until somebody says something.
Paul, the article also mentions that this woman was denied food, locked in her room, stripped of her shoes to keep her from leaving. She was hit, punched, grabbed by the face, and two roommates backed up those claims. And to me, there was even one instance where it says the abuse escalated and described as violent during Thanksgiving of 2024. So why now speak up? That to me screams, you know, either you didn't feel like it was worth it enough to say something, or you also were hushed in some way to say something, or you were threatened in some way.
Exactly. I mean, a case like this, and I'm not going to comment on the specific details, because we always understand that people are presumed innocent until proven guilty. But in general terms, Melissa, any time somebody either turns a blind eye or stays silent, it could be for several reasons. As you say, it could be because they are intimidated by the actual perpetrators. They may have something to hide themselves. They may be part of the ongoing conspiracy that is happening to somebody. So for various reasons, people can stay silent. And that's why it is so important for the public to be aware of what to look for. I mean, if you are in a home and you see, for example, a locked refrigerator, or somebody is being locked into a bedroom and is, or you are seeing somebody's health deteriorating before your very eyes, there should be no hesitation. Call the authorities immediately.
You know what this sort of reminds me of? And again, we have Paul Greenwood here, who was a career prosecutor with the San Diego District Attorney's Office, now is a public speaker and somebody talking about prevention and knowing the signs to avoid more cases like the one we're talking about, and especially benefits trafficking. When I was reading this, Paul, it reminds me a lot of domestic violence. And I know that probably sounds silly because it's like, well, of course, they're relatives, they live there and it's domestic violence, but not the same as relationship violence where man and a woman are fighting and something goes, you know, horribly wrong. But, you know, something like coercive control or intimidation. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, because, again, I think it's easy to make people believe that this is justified to be treated this way because there is a lack of housing and because it is a lot of work. As you get older, you have more needs. And I think it's very easy to manipulate the narrative that we're doing you a favor, even if it means you're not living the best way you think you could.
Yes. There is so much mind games that go on in these types of domestic situations involving an elderly victim and a younger aggressive suspect. And the number of victims that I've spoken to over the years, as we've uncovered cases such as this, where I have gently tried to probe and say, well, you knew it was going on. Yes, I did. Why did you not want to say anything? And the reasons that I've been given were, number one, sometimes the victim is cognitively impaired to the point that they are unable to appreciate what is happening to them or unable to communicate to authorities. Number two, isolation, that the victim can be totally isolated from being able to make that call. I've had those cases where the phone's been ripped out, the iPad has been removed, and they are basically locked into a home. Or number three, where the victim has said, but Mr. Greenwood, what is the alternative? I knew they were doing this to me, but I'm scared. I don't have any family members living close by. I'm dependent on them to bring me my food. And if I were to call out and have them removed, what would happen to me? I mean, we may look at it a little more objectively and say, well, of course, the state would come in and support you. But at the time, victims don't understand that. They are being told by the suspects, I'm your only lifeline. You better treat me well. And if you dare report me, bad things will happen to you. That in itself is terrifying, Melissa, to the victim. And that will then, it is coercive control. It is mind games and manipulation.
A Griswold, Connecticut couple was arrested this month and now facing charges after police say they were abusing and stealing from an older woman who was living in their home. We're talking to Paul Greenwood, who is now a public speaker to address elder abuse cases and how to prevent them.
So I guess, because of course, you can't logically tell people that if you're going to house a loved one who's aging in place, that you now have to be subject to check-ins. I mean, I think that you're riding a fine line, right? Because I think caregivers are some of the most selfless people on the planet. But, you know, it takes a few bad actors to make you go, well, wait a minute, are we doing everything we possibly can to protect people? And I don't know if we have that answer, but I do think this calls to action. If you are someone who knows of a friend or a family member who is housing somebody who's aging in place. I don't know what your advice would be, but like if you notice that this person is always frustrated or annoyed with their mom or dad aging at home or their aunt or whoever it is, do you think that that's subject to you saying, hey, is everything okay? Yes. Or should I call the police? Like, I don't know what that line is.
Right. And this is why I spend a lot of my time trying to talk to what I call the gatekeepers, people who have daily access to people who are elderly, vulnerable, who are living in a home, maybe with family relatives. Keep an eye out for them. So the mail carrier, maybe it's the Meals on Wheels delivery driver, and maybe it's the next door neighbor. In some of the cases that I prosecuted, it was the next door neighbor who noticed a change, who noticed that they didn't see the elderly person as much as they used to, and they put in that call to Adult Protective Services, who in turn would then call in local law enforcement to do a what we call a welfare check. And there were times when the door had to be broken down, and you'd find the elderly victim laying in filth with bed sores, very badly malnourished in the home. So it's the people that are living around or who have access to that elderly person. We want them to be more aware, more vigilant, recognize the red flags, and do the right thing and make that immediate call. Because I tell you what, Melissa, nobody should be ever criticizing anybody for making that call. And for most people, unless they are what we call mandated reporters of elder neglect or abuse, they can remain anonymous. So your identity will not be revealed when that welfare check is being conducted.
What about also banks? You know, in this story, what I thought was really fascinating is this elderly woman was removed from that home in March of this year after surviving emergency surgery following a fall. However, police say one of the two people involved in the abuse, allegedly, controlled the alleged victim's money, including Social Security and SNAP benefits, admitting to using her EBT card, even though she was no longer living in the home. So when we talk about benefits trafficking, even if you got in on the ground level and you're a power of attorney or you're somebody who has access to this important information, is there anything or are there people who should say, oh, well, now that they no longer live with you, let's take a look at this again and see if you're really the right person or you're really the person they want to control their money, right? I mean, because now they're not in the home anymore. So maybe they're in a protected place and now maybe they might feel differently about who should run their finances.
Well, absolutely. And it kind of reminds all of us that we need to project ourselves into the future. You know, do I need to make decisions today that will nominate a trusted individual that I would absolutely trust with my savings and everything else to become my durable power of attorney for healthcare, for financial decisions in the event that I am no longer in a position myself to make those decisions cognitively? So that's something that we all need to be thinking about, because it could well happen to us in the future. And for the current situation where EBT cards, food stamp cards, are being used in a grocery store, maybe there should be more training for the clerks who are taking in those cards, just to make some inquiries. You know, is this for yourself? Or who is this for? And, you know, just generally making that conversation happen. I always feel that there's so much more evidence out there that can be and should be collected if only people took the time to be a little more inquisitive. And I think once we start doing that and be a little more assertive and be more aware of these benefits trafficking schemes going on, and then a lot more cases will come to the surface, as they should.
Paul Greenwood, I want to thank you for the work that you've done for many, many years and continue to do as a public speaker and sounding the alarm about elder abuse, especially benefits trafficking, which I don't know if many people are aware. These are cases that continue to happen here and across the country. Thank you so much, and I hope to talk to you again really soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Melissa.